Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by. So we are now heading out of regional conference season, and last month we heard from Matt about his experience at the Western Region Conference, and Kimberly, you just returned from the Southeastern Region Conference, right?
I surely did.
So tell us about it.
Oh, I will gladly tell you about it. Now, the Southeastern Regional Conference this year was held in Columbia, South Carolina. And I didn't get to go to the entire event. I had a family emergency come up, but I did get to go for the first couple of days and really, really enjoyed it. You know, people, music therapists in the South are just really, really friendly. And I got to connect with some friends that I don't normally connect with at regional conference. I got to see Natalie Mullis and Thomas Hobson, who both did a fantastic job organizing the event. Natalie was the local committee chair, kind of like you were, Matt, for the Western Conference. Cool. And Thomas Hobson, I've known since our student days, and he is involved at the regional level as a vice president or something like that. So he was also very involved in organizing it. Who else did I say? I saw Mallory Even, and I missed Jamie George. She was coming down, missed her by a day. But the AMTA president was there and gave the keynote address during the opening session. And let's see, Amber Weldon Stevens, who is, what is she? She's a vice president for AMTA. She was there too. And just a whole bunch of, it was really nice to connect with people. Yeah, it was a good experience. I'm looking forward to the one next year, although I have no idea where it is. Yeah, Michelle, you've been to some SER conferences too, right?
Yes, yes, yes. One of the things that I like the best about that conference is that they have a plenary lunch, which doesn't happen in every conference, every region.
Doesn't, and I was so sad to miss it.
Yeah, but it was just a nice time. It's just different when you're eating with people, you know?
It is different when you're eating with people. Well, I got to give a super shout out to some of my students as well, because I ended up needing to bring my kids with me. Second time I have ever conferenced with my children. The first time was at another regional conference when Lorian, my daughter, was 7 months old, and I was nursing her, so I had to bring her. I gave a 3-hour advocacy seat, and I didn't have anybody to watch my kids, and 3 hours is kind of a long time for them to just sit in the back with headphones on watching a movie on the iPad. About five of my students just hung out with my kids, and they had a fantastic time. My kids came back all excited and buzzing, and so I got to give a special shout out to them for helping out.
The four of us have been there. At the end of a 6-month or longer internship, on the cusp of becoming professional music therapists. As exciting as it is to be in this position, it can also be a little scary and overwhelming. In this episode 65 of the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast, we'll talk through the transition from intern to professional music therapist and share tips for how you as an intern can make it as smooth as possible. And if you're already a professional, how you can help new professionals ease into the working world. So let's start with interns. And while they're still in their internship, what are some ways that interns can prepare to be professionals?
Well, I would say to enjoy your internship and listen and learn from your teachers. I know that when I was in my internship, it was fun and overwhelming and in a good way and all of that. But I was kind of in this state where I didn't always enjoy being in the minute, in the moment, because I was thinking about the future and how this is going to be over and I only have 6 months and what am I going to do then? Because then I have to work and yada, yada, yada. And so I want to encourage people to identify those feelings, if you may have the same feelings as me, but don't be afraid to enjoy your experience while you're in it, because there are things that you can do later. It's a balancing act as far as what you want to do now, what you want to do later. Does that make sense? Did I answer that question?
I think it makes total sense. No, and really the internship, as I see it, is the perfect time. I mean, it is this transition where you get to practice being a music therapist full time and kind of try to see what it feels like to have a full caseload and to plan all those sessions and do all that treatment planning and get used to the mountains of documentation and intervention planning and all of that. So in terms of what to do to prepare, I mean, I agree with you. I think the biggest thing is just to immerse yourself in that experience. It's really the only time, because once you become a professional, then there are all these other responsibilities that come with it that are part of being a working professional, you know, the administrative tasks and things like that. The internship is really this magical time where you are just doing music therapy things for 6 whole months. So I just say immerse yourself and relish it.
Yes, I agree with you, Kimberly. And I know that when I was an intern, I really tried to look at it as a job, as the fact that I was a professional music therapist, because I was providing services to clients and they were paying for the work that I was doing. And so I knew that it was really important to be as professional as possible and, you know, take advantage of the fact that I really could focus on that clinical aspect, because I knew that heading into the professional world, that wouldn't always be the case. So I absolutely agree with you. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I would say also to really take advantage of the supervision that you get while you are in your internship, because there's really no other time in your career where you have as much access to another music therapist from whom you can learn and from whom, you know, or someone who can support you as you, you know, kind of take chances and figure out your own clinical style and your own way of practice. So and I would also, you know, being the musicianship and gear guy, I would also say really take advantage of that time to learn music skills from another music therapist and how to implement interventions with a high level of musicality.
Yeah, those are great tips, Matt. And actually, I was giving a presentation on this topic to students at Illinois State University, where I studied and received my master's this past weekend. And that was one of the tips that I included, was to really take advantage of the fact that you have these supervisors whose job it is to provide you with this guidance. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you really need to take advantage of that while you have access to them. And also take advantage of the fact that you kind of have this sort of like backstage pass to the back end of a job, of a music therapy career. I know that for me, my internship was in private practice, and I was interested in starting a private practice down the road. So I was able to kind of learn those business things and things that I didn't learn in school during my internship, so that when it came time for me to start a private practice, I already had some of that knowledge built up for my internship.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, and I think that could apply no matter what setting you're in. If you're in a school or a hospital or whatever the case may be, you're also learning how to deal with those administrative things and not have necessarily that responsibility on your shoulders, but still be able to learn as you see your supervisors going through that.
Well, and it's also a time where you can take more ownership over your learning as well. I mean, it's not like when you're in a class and you're kind of told, okay, this is what you're going to learn and this is how you're going to learn it. you have a little more flexibility to really explore and, you know, with the different projects and things like that, give yourself those experiences that, that interest you.
Well, and some other things that I think you can do, Matt, you mentioned taking a hold of your musical skills and really working on those, because you're not necessarily going to have the time once you're a professional and you do have all of those extra responsibilities. So this is a good time to really do that and build up your repertoire, but also to kind of explore the different technological things that are out there, like the apps on your iPad that you might be able to use down the road, and building up your digital music collection, and all those kinds of things that are going to get you in place and give you a step up when you head into the professional world. And also creating materials. I know I did a lot of that. And I know you do that more so when you work with kids, which I did. But I spent a lot of time creating visuals and writing songs and things like that that I knew I could use once I started my job as a music therapist.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So then, Rachel, as you were heading out of your internship, and actually, I guess this is really for everyone, was there something that you did that helped make that transition easier?
As I was heading out, one of the things that I did was I reached out to... I feel like I'm not quite as brave as I was back then, but I remember reaching out to lots of music therapists that I admired, that I had found through, you know, the internet and social media, and that kind of thing was just beginning. So I was really, you know, kind of just getting a taste of what other professionals were doing out there in the world. And so I just emailed some of them and said, hey, I'm an intern. I'm heading into this career. What advice do you have for me? And that was a really valuable thing because I did receive some great advice from some music therapists that I really admired and that were doing things that I saw myself wanting to do down the road. So that was one thing. And then another thing that I did was I reached out to different organizations in the area where I was going to be working as a professional. So even though I already had a job lined up, I still let others know, other facilities and different associations know that I was a music therapist coming to Springfield and that I would love to talk more about what I do and, you know, eventually explore the idea of working with their patients or residents or whatever the case may be. So it was really about just networking and making my presence known and also educating people in my community about music therapy.
That's fantastic.
And I had to do this more so, I think, because there weren't other music therapists in my city. So it was a brand new thing and they didn't know about it. So I thought, you know, the more I can do now while I do have this time on my hands, the less I'll have to do down the road, especially since I had that vision of private practice in my mind.
I think you might have just made our resident communication expert, Michelle, really proud.
I think so. I was thinking about you, Michelle, yes, as I was saying that.
Right? I mean, Michelle, that's
what you
got to
do. What you get. No one's going to know about you unless you tell them about yourself. So that's what you have to do. Exactly. Bravo.
Thank you. Well, and I think my youth and my braveness added to my my willingness to do that and put myself out there. Cause now, you know, I'm not quite as, I mean, I am brave because I've had to do it for so long and being in private practice, but definitely being young and eager to really take on any work that I possibly could, I worked to my advantage.
Yeah. Having your back against the wall probably doesn't hurt.
Exactly.
But really with all of that stuff, you never have anything to lose. I mean, there's nothing to lose, so always go for it.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that helped to me in my transition from internship to real world was that I actually I started applying for jobs when I was in my internship, and I had my first job before I had left my internship. And I ended up I had my last day on my internship on a Friday, and I started my new job that following Monday in a different state. So I went straight through it and didn't have time off. And it's funny because at the time people were saying to me, why would you do that? Give yourself 2 weeks. But I was like, why? What is there to wait for? I would just sit in my new home and not do anything. I might as well keep going. So I kept going. But if you're someone who needs breaks and needs time for transitions, I think you should definitely take it. But another thing, even though I went so quickly into working right away, one thing that really helped me was I took the big responsibilities a little bit at a time. So my first job actually was really close to where my sister was living. My sister's older and married and had kids. So I lived with her right away. I didn't have to get an apartment. I didn't have to take any financial hits because I didn't have any money for an apartment anyway. So luckily, she let me live with her, and I could take that big responsibility of being an adult, having a job, having an apartment, having a car payment, or all of those types of things. I could take those responsibilities a little bit at a time and work a little bit, get to know my area, live a lot cheaper with family, and then incorporate those big responsibilities in my life more on a timeline that worked better for me.
Well, and in a way that worked better for you. I mean, you both in essence did the same thing, just in different ways.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And it's funny, I mean, as we're talking about this, I went straight back to school. So I feel, I mean, I didn't, yeah, I don't know how much of it, because I never did transition from being an intern to a professional. I went right back to being a student again. So I don't know that I have a whole lot to contribute in this way. I mean, it wasn't until I was finished with my master's that I really began practicing professionally.
Well, I think it goes to show that a transition, like, you know, when you're talking about the session, we know that transition is that 30 seconds in between tasks or activities or what interventions or whatever, however you work and whatever you're calling them. But in life, and often in sessions, that 30 seconds or that space and time is not always easy to identify. And so, Kimberly, you still had transitions. It just was during your activities.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How's it for you, Matt?
Well, I had a pretty similar situation as Michelle. I had a job lined up, and it was really fast from internship into working. And, you know, I think what maybe eased it for me was reaching out and, well, actually, you know, that was right around the time that I started Music Therapy Source, and I used the blog kind of as a journal, but not really. I mean, I've never been that much of a journaler. I've tried in the past several times, but
I'm with you, Matt, just saying.
But it's difficult for me, and I was like, well, who's this even for? It's like, not for anybody, even though I know it's for me, right? So I started the website and tried to create resources, and in doing that, you know, really helped myself, I guess. So it still did help me ease that transition, and yeah.
Matt, you touched on a really good point, and this was another point that I made in my presentation, that even though you are an intern, and maybe to yourself you're thinking, oh, I'm just an intern, or I'm just a brand new professional, you have built up your expertise to this point, and it may not be to the point of somebody else's expertise, but don't be afraid and don't let that hold you back from putting yourself out there and sharing that with the world. And I know I did that about, probably a year into my professional career, I started my blog and started putting my songs out there. So it wasn't when I was brand new, but I still kind of had those hesitations like, who's going to care about what I'm saying or who's going to care about the work that I'm doing? But you have to start somewhere. And everyone that has gotten to the point where you admire them now, they all started somewhere too. So I think that's such a good point to hit home for interns and new professionals, that you do have a certain amount of expertise. And if there's something that you want to do to put yourself out there and to sort of begin making your mark in the music therapy world, don't hesitate to do that.
That's an important point. Thanks.
Yeah. So I know that a couple of us have actually served as internship supervisors. So what ways can we as supervisors prepare our interns for working as professionals? And I know, Kimberly, I think you were the first of us to supervise an intern. So what are some ways that you helped set your baby birds out into the world?
Well, it was one baby bird, and it was a long time ago. And actually, I'm trying to remember because
it was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was a while ago. And I did. When I had a practice in Colorado, I had an intern through a university-affiliated arrangement with Colorado State University. And I really did enjoy that experience. And I, quite frankly, don't remember how I helped her transition. I mean, she had intended to go and still is, go back home to Arkansas and stay there. And so there wasn't, from a job standpoint, a transition in Colorado. I'm not going to be good here because I really don't remember what I did. We may have to ask her if I did anything. I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I don't have the same awareness of it as I do now.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I'd be much more intentional with it now than I just kind of did what felt right.
Yeah. And I think with your first intern, especially, you're kind of just learning the ropes as well. Since you've never been in that position. So, it's definitely a learning experience for you too. And I know that was the case for me with my first intern. But I had a unique situation in that my intern interned with me at my former job, where I actually knew going into her first day of internship that I would be leaving at the end of that year to pursue private practice full time. And I actually was able to let her know that, you know, if everything goes well and if you are happy here, I would love for you to have this position once the internship year is over, because it was a 9-month internship. So she would be with me the full school year. And so when I talked about that on the job and that backstage pass experience, she really received the ultimate backstage pass. Because she was interning at the place where she planned on eventually working. And she was working with me as her supervisor, but eventually she would be stepping into my role. So that was a really cool experience, because I really got to show her the ropes from A to Z. And she got to know everybody that worked there. And she was able to be introduced to others in the community that she would be working with as well. So it was really a full 9-month experience of preparing for professional life.
Yeah, wow. She was super lucky.
I know. I was going to add that most interns don't necessarily have that experience, but there are a lot of internships where at the end, maybe there is a job opportunity waiting for you, whether it's as a contract position with a private practice or through a school district or whatever the case may be. So that's definitely something to keep in mind as you're working through your internship, that, you know, if that's a place that you could see yourself working, you know, to kind of put yourself in that position already, so that they see you as a real valuable member of their team.
Right. And somebody who is responsible. I mean, you are, even though you're not professional when it comes to the credentialing requirements, when you're in that situation, you still have a professional responsibility.
Yeah.
And so being dependable and being a good communicator and all those professional type of skills are very important, because like you said, Rachel, that, I mean, if not employed at that site, those are going to be the people who connect you and recommend you in other situations and places.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still go back to my internship supervisors, and I've had them write recommendation letters for me and ask them for guidance. So it's really important to make that a good relationship and to keep that relationship going even after you're finished with your internship.
Yeah, I will second that. I still am in touch with my internship supervisors, and I always find their feedback very valuable. And that actually leads me to what I was going to answer for this question. And I think one of the things you can do as a supervisor to help the transition is to provide really valuable and honest feedback so that the intern knows what their strengths are, and also, you know, some areas that they can continue to improve in order to really set themselves up to succeed in the professional world.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a really good point, because your job isn't to make them feel good or feel better. Your job is to help challenge them and shape them and empower them, yes, but your job isn't to make them happy or comfortable, you know, or even comfortable, I would say.
Right.
In the sense that they plateau in terms of their skills.
Well, mm-hmm. And also, you're not going to necessarily, as a professional, get that type of feedback from your professional supervisor or your boss, because they may or may not be a music therapist and so have true. That knowledge to give you that mm-hmm. feedback.
And actually, that's a really important point, because we hear this a lot from newer professionals who feel isolated. I mean, that's a common complaint, because you may be the only music therapist at your facility, or maybe you have a private practice and don't have other music therapists you're working with. So that sense of isolation, I mean, it is a valuable time that direct supervision that you received during your internship, maybe one of the few times you actually get that or have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, just on the flip side there, that interns, if you feel like you're not getting that, really ask for it. I mean, nobody wants to hear what their weaknesses are, but or maybe you do. I actually usually want to know what I need to work on, but, you know, solicit that feedback.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. So have any of you worked as a colleague of a new professional, somebody that's pretty fresh out of internship and working alongside of you as a more seasoned music therapist?
No. No. I have, but not other music therapists. You know, I have worked with professionals that are different professions that were fresh mm-hmm. professionals. And it's funny, because we have this question on our list for our talking points is, what can colleagues of new professionals do to assist in their transition? And when I was thinking of a way to answer that, I thought to myself, well, I don't know. I've never worked with a new music therapist, but I have worked with other professionals in other professions that were fresh. And I think I would give the same advice. And that would be to just be available with a listening ear for those folks, especially in my case, since this was someone who was not a music therapist, I didn't have answers for her, because I don't know what she's doing. not, you know, I didn't know her field. But a lot of times you're doing something new, so you might have some questions, and having that sounding board and having that, going through that process, having someone to go through the process with while you figure out, well, you decide what you want to do, is really valuable. And I think that's how, just a really great way that we can help fresh professionals out there.
And I think sometimes you can't, underestimate the power of just listening. You know, just being a sounding board for new professionals, a resource that they can go to if they have questions or if they have concerns or they had a challenging situation or something really positive that happened that they want to share.
And I think back to those emails that I sent out to music therapists when I was heading into the professional world. And I keep those in mind now when I talk with new professionals and think about how much that meant to me getting that feedback. And so that's I try to do that same thing for new professionals who reach out to me, because I know that they're just trying to make their way in the world of music therapy and they want to do a good job and they're looking for that same type of feedback that I was at one point. And the only experience that I have working alongside a new professional was when I took on my first contractor, who is now my business partner. She had been practicing for, I think, a little under a year. So she was still fairly new to the music therapy professional world and definitely new to private practice. So I just remember having a lot of email conversations with her and just giving her the opportunity to ask any questions that came up and making her feel comfortable and not that she was bugging me or that she was, you know, too new or too green at this job to kind of be tapping into my knowledge base and my experience. So I think it all just goes back to being willing to listen and being willing to share what you've learned along the way.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Rachel, because I know one thing that I need to get better at doing is seeing fresh professionals as the resources that they are. Mm-hmm. Because they are closer. They're actually closer to education than I am. Yeah. I mean, what they're learning now is really current. What I learned was 10 years ago.
Well, I even feel that way with Matt, you know, because he's he's been in school most recently out of the four of us. And so sometimes a lot of times, actually, I feel like Matt's sort of on the cutting edge. And I guess, Kimberly, you've been in school recently, too.
In a different way.
In a different way. Though. In a different way.
It's kind of different. Yeah. Right. Well, I remember here's a really horrible story that I'm going to say anyway. I remember it during my internship. We'd have to do a presentation. It was like one of our requirements. And I did my internship at a place. It's not in business anymore, but it was a state facility that had a lot of music therapists working in there, and there were three interns. So it was a cornucopia of music therapists, you know, working there. And so we'd have to do a presentation. And I remember asking the intern ahead of me, because we were all staggered, how should I do this? And she was like, just put it on PowerPoint. They're going to love it because they don't know anything about PowerPoint and it's so new and they think it's great. So I did. And they were like, oh my gosh, your presentation. These are the other music therapists. Your presentation is so beautiful. The PowerPoint. Oh my gosh, you kids. And that is exactly how I feel now when I go to presentations and someone is using the next PowerPoint or the new whatever, you know, app. And I remember I was just like, oh my gosh, I am there now. And I think to myself, don't be swayed by the, you know, because they know this, you'll get to the content, but also, you know, everyone has a resource, can be a resource to you. And sometimes it can be a little annoying to hear, it feels like you're hearing the same questions from the same people and you're like, come on, just figure it out. But, you know, they know things you don't know and that you need to know. And so you really gotta find the balance for yourself, get yourself in the right headspace to really see the resource that everyone is.
Yeah, I love that you flipped that around. And it's not just us old seasoned professionals that are giving out the advice, but we have so much to learn from those that have been, you know, in the trenches of education and internship most recently. That's a great point.
I would just like to clarify that I am not a seasoned professional. You all might be.
I'm maybe lightly seasoned. There might be somebody that, you know, others that laugh at us, you know, 20s, early 30 somethings. I'll still count myself early 30 somethings for another couple of months. that might laugh if we, as you know, right. call ourselves seasoned professionals.
Okay, relatively speaking, let me add that caveat. Relatively
compared
speaking.
To a new professional, how
yes.
about that?
Yes, there we go. That's much better. Sorry to you, real seasoned professionals. I don't want to encroach on your territory.
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. At one point, are you a seasoned professional?
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, we'll be talking even more about transitions like these and of many other different kinds, and providing an arsenal of tips, a transition survival guide, if you will, over on our membership site, musictherapypro.com. This pro conversation is only available to our pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already, and now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at musictherapypro.com. And this month, we actually have two cool resources. So Michelle, please share with us the first cool resource.
Well, our first cool resource of the month is something that all you interns need to know about, and it's offered through AMTA, the American Music Therapy Association, and that is their Welcome to the Profession intern packets. And this is something that AMTA has had for many, many years that I don't think enough people know about, and you've got to sign up for this. What it is it's an packet that interns are eligible for, and you get a ton of coupons, over up to $150 off your first year of professional expenses. You get a coupon for your membership, you get coupons on conference registrations, you get coupons for like products from their website. You also get different print materials that are nice to have in the packet. And you have to sign up for it. That's the thing. That's why a lot of people don't get it. So we're going to have the link in the show notes. You'll find it at www.musictherapy.org/careers/packets. So sign up. Just do it.
And then our second cool resource actually comes from me. And if you're familiar with my website, Listen and Learn Music at All, I also have a membership site where members receive downloads of all of the songs that I write, as well as the chords and the instrumental tracks. But then I also have other kinds of resources, presentations, and tips for professionals and students, and videos, and all kinds of things. It's called Listen and Learn Plus. And I offer a discount. This is actually half the price of the regular monthly membership cost. And that discount is available to students and interns. So if you're interested in that, you can head to listenlearnmusic.com/students-interns. And that's kind of a long, awkward link. So we'll also have that link available to you in the show notes.
And of course, we would like to give a shout out to our Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's paper, Music Therapy ebooks, Music Therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research blog, Listen and Learn, and the Music Therapy Maven and Bearpaw Creek. So thanks to all of those awesome companies for their support.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you like this podcast, take your skills to the next level by joining the Music Therapy Pro community. For only $17 per month, you will get unlimited access to CMTE's in-depth clinical skills podcasts and other invaluable resources designed to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth.